You're listening to an Airwave Media Podcast.
Mom life. We're surrounded with the message that it's the tired life, the no time for myself life, the hard life. And while it is hard and full of lots of servitude, the idea that motherhood means a joyless life is something I'm passionate about putting a stop to. I'm on a mission to help you stop counting down the minutes till bedtime. At least most days. I want you to stop cleaning up after your kid's childhood and start being present for it. Start enjoying it. I believe in John 10:10 that we are called to abundant life, and I know mothers are not excluded from that promise. Join me in conversations about simplicity, minimalism, and lots of other good stuff that leads to a life of less for the sake of enjoying more in your motherhood. I'm Ali Casaza, and this is The Purpose Show. Hey, beauties, welcome back to The Purpose Show. I am so excited to share today's guest with you. Jordan Dooley is here with me. Hi, Jordan.
Hey, Ali.
I am so glad you took time to come and talk with us today. Jordan is just amazing. We haven't had a chance to connect outside of the podcast, but I feel like I've read so many of your blog posts. You have one of those blogs that's just kind of like a gold mine. Like you can get in there and just kind of sit there for hours going over all the things you've written. And you can see like your story kind of like unfolding throughout your writing and your personal life. And you just have you have such a sweet voice. You're such an encourager. It's like, it's your gifting and you're just, it's so encouraging to read from you. And I just love everything that you have going on. So welcome.
Well, thank you. That is so encouraging to my heart. Oh my gosh.
Good.
It is so amazing how sometimes God will write your story or how you'll be living your story and the things that you can learn from the most ordinary days and just different encounters that you have and being able to pass that wisdom on to others through something as simple as a blog post on the internet. It's just like, wow, it's such an amazing tool. I think the internet is such an amazing tool.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm so grateful. It allows the old days you had to like go and do a bunch of speaking tours and leave your family and do the whole thing. And now it's like you can just be in the comfort of your office or your living room and just chat with people in another country. It's just incredible. I'm so thankful for that. It's so neat.
We're sitting here talking right now. Like,
I know. Totally. Okay, so I asked you to be here today just because I feel like one of the underlying tones of your story, there's a lot, like I was saying before we hit record, our stories are very different, but I feel like they're similar in the fact that there's just a lot of different aspects to the things we've gone through in our lives, the things that have brought us to where we're at, to this place of sort of sharing a story, sharing a mission, and influencing the other women of our world. But I really love how I see you just sort of getting to this place of living your life from a place of purpose versus almost like, I don't know, trying to do it all, trying to do everything perfectly. And you've even said, you know, you were operating from a place of total perfectionism before. I do struggle with that in certain aspects of my life, but it's not like my thing, my struggle. And I hear it a lot from just the amazing moms that I, you know, work with and talk to. And it breaks my heart how often I just see them striving so hard to do it all, to do it all perfectly. I think even sometimes, especially in motherhood, it is just like put on us, you know, raising our kids and just everything that we're doing is so much from a place of servitude. And it's all got to be perfect. Can't mess up your kids. Can't, you know, take a break. Can't do anything for yourself. It's just really, really hard. And so I would love for you to just kind of open up whatever aspect you want of your story, but kind of speaking about to that, coming from perfectionism and starting to live your life from a place of what is really purposeful here? What, you know, kind of leaving that feeling that you're not legitimate enough, that this isn't good enough, and kind of how that played out in your story to where you are now.
Absolutely. It's funny because I often say that I grew up and I was the oldest child in my family. I grew up in a cornfields of Indiana is kind of how I say it. And I had an awesome upbringing in so many ways. Like there was just so much that I'm so grateful for. And so in that, you know, I feel like I was incredibly blessed as a child. And I think being an older child and the oldest child in my family, I almost created, no one put this on me. It was more just like a self-imposed perfectionism. And I think that's often the struggle is, I mean, at times it can be, you know, there's pressure from society or there's pressure from parents or there's pressure from friends or kids or whatever it might be in our own stories. But for me, I felt like it started from a very young age. It was just, I kind of always needed to be the best. I wanted to be the best on the basketball team when I played basketball in grade school. And I wanted to be the best in the classroom. And I, you know, and I think that's kind of the root of the issue. But when I kind of look at it through that lens, it's really that striving for perfectionism. Really, there's a difference between striving for excellence and striving for perfectionism. You know, I feel like with me walking in that, I've really learned a lot about how it can distort our view of love and it can distort our relationships and it can also distort our view of ourselves. I've actually been doing a little bit of thinking on this and I actually looked up a definition for perfectionism and it was on the Psychology Today website and it said perfectionism in psychology is characterized by a person's striving for flawlessness and setting high performance standards, which we all know, accompanied by critical self-evaluations and concerns regarding others' evaluations. But what makes it so toxic is that while those in its grip desire success, they are most focused on avoiding failure. So we desire success, but we're most focused on avoiding failure. And I think to kind of add on that, it's like if we're so focused on avoiding failure, we're less focused on just simply loving others because we're more focused on the avoiding than really how we're pouring it into others. And so there's this like negative orientation with it. And then the rest of that definition said that. And then love is not a refuge. In fact, it feels way too conditional on performance. And so why I say it kind of distorted my understanding of relationships and love, it actually made my friendships really hard because I would hold these standards for myself and then almost like I would impose them on myself and then subconsciously impose them on other people. And I think other people felt the pressure of that. They felt like I was either judgmental or like I was trying to be better than others or holding them to some ridiculous standard, you know? And I noticed that I had often, it wasn't really the fault of anyone else, but I often struggled with really creating deep, meaningful friendships and relationships, although that's what I desired, because I also had this like report card running in my mind of myself and then of the other. And so I just think that's interesting that it says love isn't a refuge. Love is no longer a safe place. When we operate out of a place of perfectionism, we almost like replace love as a refuge and turn love into a report card.
Yeah.
Loving ourselves, loving our families, allowing our families to love us. I mean, it's just, it's like, that's what makes it so toxic. If we're focused on avoiding failure, we don't want the B plus, we want the A plus. And in pursuit of the A plus, we run over everyone to get there. And we don't actually end up loving our spouse as well, or our kids well, you know, those kind of things.
Yeah.
The imperfection that can accompany true love is what makes love so great. You know, there's grace given. So that's kind of a summary of the discovery that I've kind of had. And when you can really get to the root of that, that's when you can start to replace your perfectionistic tendencies with more a place of coming from a place of purpose, you know, going, okay, what is the ultimate purpose in this moment? You know, maybe it's to clean up the living room or whatever it might be.
Sure.
Now, if I turn it into a report card, I'm not going to then love the kid that's sitting in the living room very well or the husband that's sitting in the chair very well. So how can I make this purpose-driven to accomplish the purpose at hand while ultimately living my ultimate purpose, which is stewarding this house as a whole well, building my family well, building, you know, my livelihood well. So it's just kind of replacing the fear of failure with faithfulness and just doing the little things with faithfulness.
That is, I could tell you were like nearing the end of your sentence and I was sitting here like overwhelmed at the profoundness of all that. And I was like, crap, what am I going to say? It was like so seriously, so profound. And if that's like enough to just call it right now and just wrap this up, because that is, it's so profound. And if you really take that and you really heard like what you were saying and think about in every moment and little things from doing the dishes and big things to like focusing on our spouse during date night or something, you know, that's, it's so profound. Okay. One thought that I had, would you mind maybe coming up, I don't know if this is too much off the top of your head, but maybe coming up with like an example of what perfectionism would look like in a day-to-day situation? Like me, I'm kind of thinking about marriage right now, like spouse to spouse, like what would that look like? And then maybe switch it on its head and show us an example of like from coming from a place of purpose, like you said.
Yeah, I could probably think of a variety of examples, but I think one, especially within marriage, would be think of what is perfectionism? Well, if it's a report card and it turns love into a report card, that means that I evaluate how good my love is between my husband based off of the expectations that I have or the standards that I've held it to. Now, while it's important to have standards, you know, I think I want to preface everything I say with, the antidote to perfectionism is not carelessness. And I think that we often think, oh, well, I'm just not going to be a perfectionist and I don't care anymore. Mm-hmm. And then that's when everything, you know, goes to shambles as well. So that's not the solution. It's finding that fine balance. And so when I'm operating from a place of perfectionism, let's say it's a date night with my husband or something, and I have I'll go with Valentine's Day. Mm-hmm. Our first year we were married, our very first Valentine's Day, my husband had been on and off with NFL. He was pursuing the NFL. He played football in college and stuff. So he was kind of in the middle of that and was training really hard. And he had training that evening. He had a lot of workouts and stuff. So, you know, his mind is like not on flowers and, you know, candy by any means. But I figured, you know, hey, he's a man. He's a gentleman. He's the kind of guy that opens my door. I'm thinking he's probably going to have the sense to, you know, have a date night or something. Mm-hmm. Well, you know, in the midst of a crazy week, it was like a Wednesday or something, you know, it wasn't the first thing on his mind. And so I had this whole expectation as to how our first Valentine's Day, because your first Valentine's Day in a married couple is like a staple, right?
Right.
So, and so I kind of had this perfect plan in my mind, and I hoped that he would read it, and I hoped that he would live up to that expectation. And so, and on top of that, I had the perfect Instagram picture planned out. So it's like a picture of what it's going to be, without actually first letting the picture be painted. And so what happened was he didn't end up booking anything or, you know, getting reservations. He thought maybe we'll just like grab something and then spend the evening watching a movie. Like, he had a very simple plan. I had a very well-structured and thought-out plan. And so by like 4 o'clock, I realized he didn't have reservations, and I was so hurt and I was angry. And I thought, how could you? Like, as if he had done something horrible to me. And that led to this almost like this toxic evening. And it was almost felt irredeemable, because then he left angry and like mad as to how could you act like that, you know? And right. So almost the perfectionism was more of my expectation and painting this picture and even having this perfect like picture planned literally for how that was going to go. And so when it didn't quite go that way, I actually lost sight of what is the purpose of this day to begin with, and what is the purpose of marriage? You know, it's dying to yourself, literally, and mm-hmm. sometimes understanding that the expectations you have just won't always be played out in reality. And so I think when we operate from a state of perfectionism, it's when you almost have all these expectations that, and on that day specifically, a day that celebrates love, I turn love into a report card saying, well, did he check this box? And did he check that box? And did he get me a card? You know, all those things that are almost so, and I know they're unnecessary and everything, but it was so much from a place of pressure, the pressure to keep up with what other people are doing and posting on Instagram, the pressure to have this blissful marriage, and, you know, the pressure of it's your first Valentine's Day. It's like this unspoken pressure that honestly came out of nowhere other than what I dreamed up in my head. And so that's kind of like an example of how I think perfectionism can very quickly creep in, and the picture perfect expectations can really create more division than you ever expected them to. And but if I flip it on its head, so what happened was there's a great ending to the story, because he ended up leaving, and you know, he left and he was angry and he was hurt and he was upset, and I was obviously upset as well. And so I sat there and I was moping around in my brokenness. I was moping around and, oh my gosh, woe is me. I can't believe our first Valentine's Day is ruined, you know. So then I thought, we're gonna have this horrible memory and this is gonna be, you know, tragic. Well, all of a sudden it was like something in my heart shifted, like purpose kind of came back into play, and it was like, what is the purpose here? And how can you redeem yourself? Because you just made a, you know, mess of yourself. So all I did was, he was at some workout that he had to be at, and I went to Target and I got one of those children's like bed things that go over the bed and they make like a big tent, you know, like the
like
the thing that goes over your bed. Okay, so I got one of those and I got a bunch of like cupcakes and like pizza and just a bunch of like fun little things, and I ended up hanging up that little bed cover thing for like 7-year-old girls over like this corner of our living room. I moved the couch and I put these blankets on the floor and I like laid it all out and I had music playing and I had microwave pizza or something like that. And it was the most simple but like fun thing. And I had such a joy because it wasn't like picture perfect. I hadn't showered. Like, it wasn't anywhere near what I thought it was going to be in my mind, but it actually turned out so much better because I got to the point where I was like, I have a choice to make. I can sit here and like sit in the pity of, hey, this didn't go perfect. Or I can operate from a place of purpose and go, but my purpose is ultimately to steward my marriage. And so I'm just going to do something fun and simple so that I can, you know, bring purpose and the whole purpose of this day back into this evening. And so he got home and he was so surprised because it was just like the simplest thing. I candled everywhere. And he thought, and he, you know, he hadn't showered either. We just got back from work. We just sat there and we ate pizza and we talked and we talked out our frustrations and we actually had a very healing evening and purpose was at work simply because we chose, by the grace of God, I had this realization of, I can let perfectionism win here, or I can let purpose win here.
Yeah.
And that was just one of those situations where sometimes you have to allow your expectations to be broken so that purpose can break through.
Oh my gosh, I love that example. And thank you for being so just honest and open about that. I love that. And friggin' Valentine's Day, man, it can really, like, really put like a crook in your stuff. Like it's so anything like that too. Brian and I have, we just actually recorded an episode together recently about just date night as a whole and how it used to be such this like expectation. We would always argue and it was like, what is the point of this? It's just silly. But I think even thinking of purpose on that kind of topic, remembering what the purpose is of something like date night or Valentine's Day or family dinners or, you know, whatever it is, even something simple like doing the dishes and just remembering like, what is the point here? If it's not fulfilling the purpose, something got lost in the midst, in the mess here of in perfectionism and expectations in, you know, fear or whatever it is driving us to kind of fall off the path. So I love that. I love that story. I love how you kind of redeemed yourself and the Valentine's night. And I love that example, such a perfect example. And I can think of a thousand ways of kind of how to take the example that you gave and kind of carry it over into motherhood and everything, running the business, you know, pursuing our mission as influencers, everything. It's just, I love that. So, okay. I kind of wanted to shift over to where there's another kind of aspect of perfectionism that I've read from you and heard you talk about multiple times and sort of more of like a, when you're taking something on, like I guess maybe a little bit more tactical, like actually doing something. And you talk about how the enemy often uses fear to keep us from taking action. I can see this a lot in myself. I'm also an oldest child and I definitely related at least a little bit when you were talking about like, well, if I'm going to do this, I need to be the best. And it's like, nobody told you that. It's fine to just be. But I definitely can feel that sometimes in myself. And I think a lot about doing something with my kids or I homeschool them and I struggle with perfectionism there a lot. Well, I want to be like the best though. Like I want to be the most at homeschooling, whatever that means. Like it doesn't like make any sense. But when kind of speaking tactically and doing something like starting a business or deciding that you want to get healthy and lose weight, homeschooling your kids, whatever it is, talk about how the enemy kind of uses fear to keep us from taking action. And then even like taking action, but taking action out of fear, like making a decision out of fear and kind of what that looks like in your experience with that.
Yeah, one thing that I've learned in that specific area is there's a very big difference between giving your best and trying to be the best. And that goes back to that whole, you know, obviously the antidote to the toxicity of perfectionism is not carelessness. But at the same time, you know, when we do need to be giving our best, and when we give our best, that doesn't mean it's going to be perfect, but when we're striving for perfection or we're striving to be the best, what will hold us back is if we look at a situation, maybe that's, you know, losing weight or starting homeschooling or something like that. And our first focus is avoiding failure, which is what makes perfectionism so toxic, according to this definition. It means that if we look at that and go, oh, well, there's a chance I could fail, I'm just not going to do it at all. And so we'll put it off and we'll put it off. And I think perfectionism actually leads to procrastination. And that like completely steals you of purpose. And what is the root? Like if we can get to the root of what is really driving perfectionism, why would we fear failure? Like what is so scary about failure? You know, like what is really the reason we are afraid of failure? And it's ultimately because we are prideful. Pride. And pride is what drives perfectionism. Otherwise, there really is no fear of failure because what do? You get up and try again, right? And so not all of us are, like, I would say I'm not a perfectionist in all areas of my life. You know, there are certain areas that it's stronger in different seasons. So, you know, for right now, I don't have children yet, but one of my best friends has two little babies, you know, and so two of my best friends have two little girls. And they often share with me that pressure that kind of can start to come with, like, I'm not being this kind of mom, or I'm not doing, or I feel insecure, I'm not mom, or those kind of things. Mm-hmm. And so in my own life, like, although I don't have kids yet, I can feel that way in my marriage. I can feel that way in my work, you know, as a growing author and speaker and things like that. I look at author and speakers that have been doing it for 20 years, and I'm like, oh, I should be like that. No, I shouldn't. No.
Right, right.
So, yeah. And so the fear of failure is driven by pride. And so we have to almost like get to the place of humility, because I think we often think that if we walk in failure or we experience failure, there'll be this element of humiliation involved, right? Like, oh my gosh, I'm going to be so embarrassed. I'm going to be so humiliated. I'm going to look like a failure. But the antidote to humiliation is actually humility. And I think we think those are the same things, but they're not. Walking in humility is almost freeing from that fear of humiliation, that fear of failure, because then love can become a refuge again, right? It's not so much conditional on performance. And we can say, okay, ultimately the purpose here is to love, is to serve, even in our work, right? Aren't we ultimately trying to provide value to others, regardless of what our work is? Aren't mm-hmm. we ultimately showing up to serve? And so if we're fearing failure and if our end game is to avoid failure, we're not going to walk faithfully. Like, we're not going to do the little things faithfully. And I've experienced that many times in my own life. You know, but at the same time, it's funny because the way that I've really kind of learned to break out of that is to choose actively, not to just be a dreamer, but to be a doer. And sometimes you're going to do things not perfectly and you have to redo them. There's literally, I wrote a devotional one time and I was so afraid to release it, but I thought if I keep sitting here stewing on it, it's never going to happen. So I released it. And then 3 months later, I realized, oh my gosh, we didn't edit that very well. And we had to like pull it off the market and do it again, you know, and like, that's not the best way to do things. And I wouldn't suggest that, but I guess the point is sometimes when we have an idea or we get a vision or we're called to something or there's a mission at hand and there's something that needs to be done, it's better to show up and give our best than trying to be the best. And mm-hmm. that's when we kind of break the grip of fear.
Yeah, absolutely. And even in the example you gave with the devotional, you know, I think it's Laura Casey who always says, done is better than perfect. And you got mm-hmm. it done. And in what you were saying too, done is better than perfect, but also not just to get things done, but if the purpose in writing that devotion was to love and serve the women who needed it, your audience, then mm-hmm. by being perfectionistic and not putting it out because it's not perfect yet, you are not fulfilling that purpose. You are not serving them because you won't put it out and you're waiting until it's perfect. And just, things like that are never going to be perfect. The same thing happened with my course for decluttering. It was like, mm-hmm. I waited and sat on it and I waited and waited and waited. And it was like, you know what? This is full of like 50 lessons. Yeah. My sound mm-hmm. quality isn't the best because I can't afford a good mic yet. And I need to just mm-hmm. get it out. And now it's been redone 3 times and it's mm-hmm. great, but it served yeah. so many hundreds of women before it was perfect. They didn't notice that the sound quality wasn't amazing because they're not professional podcasters. They don't know. They just wanted the content. So getting it out and serving, and it goes in so many different areas of our life, not just work. But I love that. By revisiting what the purpose is, you realize that by being perfectionistic, you're not fulfilling the purpose because you won't put it out. You won't, you know, go and do that, you know, volunteer thing or do this with your kids or take on homeschooling or put out that devotional because you were waiting until everything's lined up perfectly.
Exactly. Exactly. So, I mean, to be honest, it really is when I start hesitating, sometimes there's a wisdom in hesitation, right? Sometimes there's a wisdom in
sure.
waiting. So, you know, it's like I said, it's never just the total opposite of what we're doing. But when we can wisely evaluate, okay, what really is holding me back here? And is it ultimately that I'm avoiding failure? You know, or what is driving my bitterness or what is driving my impatience with my kids or my husband's or even myself? If we can get to the root of that, it's ultimately my pride, and my pride is making me avoid failure, you know? There's this whole negative orientation with it, and it actually warps our whole understanding of purpose and makes us procrastinate. And so, yeah, I fully agree with you. And sometimes, you know, again, it's not just, it doesn't say done horribly. It's done, and done with intentionality, and done with as much, you know, giving our best without the pressure to be the best. Because the reality is there's always going to be someone a step ahead of us and someone with a better mic ahead of us. And there's going to be a lot of people behind us too that don't even have a mic, you know? So
yeah.
Just remembering as we're creating things, and as we're trying things, just there's always somebody a step ahead and somebody a step behind. But are we walking where we are and running our race, not hers? Because that's ultimately, you know, I always look at like, there's a verse in Hebrews that talks about running with endurance. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't say running with perfection. It doesn't even say coming in first. In fact, several other places talk about how the last will be first, right? How there's value in first putting others before you. So really, the point of the race isn't to win the race. The point of the race is to complete the race, and to do it with endurance and perseverance. And so I think really the antidote to perfectionism on top of purpose is perseverance. And persevering, doing the small things well, doing them faithfully, and knowing that in the midst of, you know, failure after failure, the little things, we are being refined and made new and experiencing what it's like to learn how to endure and to persevere.
Yeah, absolutely. Do you feel like you're barely getting through your days, friend? Does motherhood feel more like a hurricane of chaos that you're just kind of surviving rather than the awesome, joy-filled season that you want it to be? While motherhood is hard, and I'm not going to lie to you about that, and it is servitude and giving to your family from yourself, it doesn't have to be something that we're waiting to be over, something that we're spending counting down the minutes till nap time or bedtime or waiting for the next day to start. If you're wanting to sort through the clutter in your mind, your heart, your home, calendar, health, routines, and relationships, I created Unburdened just for you. It is a guide that will help you go from drowning in a sea of stress and overwhelm to owning your time and living the best version of your motherhood so you can live abundant, well, and intentionally focused on those who matter most. Unburdened is the overwhelmed beginner's guide to a simpler motherhood. In Unburdened, I will walk you through how to stop overcomplicating, procrastinating, and just start making positive changes now, how to declutter just a little bit, not getting super deep into it because you can't handle that when you're this overwhelmed, but just kind of a surface declutter that will get you real results in your house so you can just clean up less, how to declutter toxic relationships in your life and set some good boundaries, how to simplify clean eating, get healthy and feel better finally, how to simplify your calendar, how to start owning your time and not just manage it as life happens to you, how to stop just setting goals and letting them sit there and start actually defining where you want to go and getting there through reverse engineering and goal setting. How to create a cleaning routine that works for you and your life. This course is a mini course. It is small, but it is straightforward, and it is everything for the mom who feels like she needs a total overhaul but is too overwhelmed to start. It'll help you simplify the things that have you stuck and leave survival mode behind for good. If this is resonating with you and sounds like you and something that would really help you right now, go to bit.ly/getunburdened or click the show notes for this episode and click the link to Unburdened and just check it out, read about it, see if it sounds good to you. I really poured my heart into this little course and I created it for the mom who's just really wanting to simplify and declutter and pursue a life of less, but she's so burdened and so overwhelmed with the mess of just all the things. It's not just her house, and she wants to sort of simplify on the surface of all the different things in her life so that she can focus on her family more, so that then maybe she can focus more specifically on really truly purging her entire house. So this sounds like it's for you. I encourage you to check it out. You're probably the person that I created this for, and I want you in there. I want you to have it. I want to help you. So go check it out, bit.ly/getunburdened. Okay, so just to wrap this up, I wanted to just share your blog post, The Open Letter to the Recovering Perfectionist. Read that probably 3 or 4 times. It's amazing. I'll link to it in the show notes for you guys. But I wanted to just share, at the end of it, you share 3 practical tips to take this idea of overcoming perfectionism and kind of just, the way you phrase it is putting it at rest, like right now. And then the first one is to get off the internet and be real by living real life, by calling somebody or hugging somebody like physically in your real life today. I just wanted to kind of dive into these 3 things. Like, why did you say that as number one? What is that accomplishing for somebody who's trying to overcome this perfectionism?
Well, are you talking about the point about?
Yeah, like getting off, like get off the internet. Like why, just talking about like why get off the internet? What is it doing? What does the internet kind of do sometimes to us in terms of perfectionism and kind of like getting in real life and kind of getting present in what is really going on?
Sure. Well, and I never want to blame the internet specifically, but what I will say is sometimes when we saturate our lives with too much of something, whether that's the internet or carbs or anything, of course, we all love carbs, so that's it. but you know, when the reason I say that is because you know, there's been study after study that I'm talking about how this is the generation that feels the most lonely, that feels the most isolated, that feels, I think 2017 was like marked the year of anxiety or something like that. Mm. And while those are a real, real struggle, it's, and never want to negate those. I think when it comes to perfectionism, when we get so, I think when we are struggling with perfectionism, we're really isolating ourselves inside of ourselves. Like we are so trapped inside of like this warped view of the world, this warped view of love. Love is no longer a refuge, all of that. And so really allowing yourself to experience real love, not this like manufactured, like there's a lot of good stuff on the internet. There's a lot of life. It's a great tool, mm-hmm. but it's not the same as sitting on your back porch sipping sweet tea and talking with someone and really hearing their story. Or walking over to your neighbor's house and just giving them some cookies or talking with somebody at the grocery store. I mean, just the very simple things. I think sometimes the problem with the internet is it makes us look into everyone else's corner of the universe and neglect our own. And so then we become like so driven by this fear of failure and wanting to create this picture perfect situation rather than actually saying, you know, I'm just going to live with purpose right now. And the ultimate purpose is to steward God's kingdom, to build the house that you live in, to steward your corner of the universe with kindness and intentionality. And so I think part of that overcoming it is instead of just saturating your moments and your hours, staring into everyone else's lives and everything else that's going on and all the things that you could be doing or all the reminders that you could be doing this better, just showing up where you are. Because the internet is often a place to show off. Not that we're intentionally showing off, but you do show your best side. It's like a live resume, you know?
Right.
And so really, instead of spending so much time having to keep up with everything that's happening and showing off and advertising and all that, not that that's bad, but equally showing up in the simple things and in the day-to-day lives. And when we have live people interaction, really, people are the purpose. Like that. I mean, our kiddos are the purpose. Our spouses are the purpose. Our friends are the purpose. And in the sense that that's how we live it. And that's how we really see it come to life. And that's when it starts, all those toxic feelings that we tend to get can be replaced when we simply just embrace where we are and embrace those who are right in front of us. So that's kind of why I gave that piece of advice. I think sometimes it's really simple. Like there's not this, like magic solution. just get really, be present where you are with the people that are where you are.
Yeah, absolutely. And then I also wanted to just shine a light on the last tip that you gave, which is identify if you are channeling your own negative energy towards someone else simply because they seem better off than you, which is so powerful. And then also to make a choice that you have to choose to turn to God and kind of refocus what matters most and call that out for what it is, which I mean, you're so graciously speaking right to the problem and hitting the nail on the head that is so often what we do, that we, even if you just notice kind of like practicing mindfulness when you're scrolling through Instagram, you'll find somebody posts a beautiful photo. Maybe there's something you're self-conscious about. Like maybe you don't love your house too much and you scroll through somebody with like a beautiful dining table in their room and the kids are happy in the room and it's so beautiful and white and crisp and clean. And you get that feeling in yourself of just ugly, like, ugh, I'm so annoyed. And it's like, there it is right there. And so this is just speaking to my own self recently, practicing like that mindfulness of just realizing, why do I feel like that? Why did I just get irritated at that, you know, kind of diving in and realizing you're putting your own negative energy, your own negative, the things that you dislike or are maybe self-conscious about of yourself and your own life onto other people. And then we treat them out of that, which is so not right. And so I love that you say, you know, you've got to make a choice to turn that off and turn away from that and turn to God and refocus on what your purpose is and what really matters.
Yeah. And it's really, you know, the thing is, it's not that you're never going to have those feelings. It's not that those things, it's just how you respond to them. Mm. Like, how are you going to respond to them? Are you going to shut them down? Are you going to refocus your energy on something that matters? Like just showing up and serving someone, hugging someone in your family, like appreciating what you do have, you know, the fact that you have a table.
Exactly.
You know, are we going to refocus on that? Or are we going to, like, I think sometimes goes back. I love this definition because it talks so much about how love isn't a refuge. And when we focus more on where we lack in comparison to someone else or in comparison to our expectations of our own life, when we focus more on where we lack, we fail to see where we're really loved and where we have love and the love that we've been given. And that's going to look different for all of us. And it's so easy to say, well, I don't, you know, maybe I'm not married. I don't experience love, or I don't have kids, so I haven't been loved, or like whatever it is. But the reality is when we focus more on how we've lacked, then the lack is going to create this hole in our hearts that only makes it bigger and bigger and makes us strive and strive and prove more and more and feel that pressure to prove, when in reality, it's like, we're just leaning back into the love God's already given you and look at what you do have, you know?
Yeah, absolutely.
So I think it's really, it can become an identity issue. You know, it's, am I putting my identity in how my life looks or where I lack? Or am I putting my identity in the love identity I've been given, the new identity I've been given, the love that I have been shown, you know, the mercy I've been shown? Like, so what am I going to focus on?
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, so to wrap up, tell us what do you have going on? What's coming up next for you? Where can people kind of find you and look for you if they want to connect with you outside of this episode?
Sure. Well, we have a lot going on. We have, I guess the easiest place to find me would be on Facebook or Instagram, Jordan Lee Julie. My name rhymes, so it's pretty easy.
Yeah, and we'll link to everything for listeners too, so to find you on social media.
So I'm on social media. I have my website is thesoulscripts.com, and we have a bunch of new resources coming out, something called Bible Study Bootcamp, which is going to be a 12-week workshop through the Word. I'm really excited about that.
Oh, nice.
A couple other really exciting things. Yeah. And then in about a year, I have a book releasing.
Yay.
The whole concept of purpose, and really it's like an ultimate guidebook to moving out of your brokenness and not wallowing in that state of, you know, perfectionism or that state of fear or whatever it is. So that's really exciting. I'm looking forward to that. So a lot of things are in the works, but that's kind of where you can find me. And I'm all over the YouTube, Facebook.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Awesome. Okay. Well, guys, I'm going to link to that specific blog post about recovering from perfectionism. I'll link to Jordan's general website everywhere social. So if you are loving this and you want more of her and you want to stay in touch with her, I'll link to all of that for you guys. But thank you so much for being here, Jordan. Again, really, I'm so thankful. I was so looking forward to this interview, and I know we kind of had some tech difficulties keeping us apart for a couple months, but thank you for pushing through, and I'm glad we finally made it happen.
Absolutely. Thanks so much for having me on, Allie.
This was an episode of The Purpose Show. Thank you so much for tuning in. If you're ready to up-level and really take action on the things I talk about on my show, head to AllieCasaza.com for free downloads, courses, classes, and to learn more about what the next step might look like for you. I'm always rooting for you. See you next time.